Now, anyway, here's a question. The universe is a very big place, so if you've only got a small number of telescopes with which to look at it and limited resources to analyse the data you collect, inevitably there are going to be lots of important questions that are going to go unanswered. So how do you solve the problem? Well, it turns out, the answer is by professional astronomers teaming up with amateurs all around the world and asking the amateurs to do some of the observing for them. And that's exactly what Dr. Pamela Gay from Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville has been doing.
I work with the American Association of Variable Star Observers, which, while it has the name American in its title, is actually an international organization of observers. We have people from all around the world, amateurs, who like to go out in their backyard and look at stars and measure how bright they are. And it sounds like just a fun game, but for scientists, this is amazingly powerful. I study a type of star called RR Lares. These are stars about 0.6 times the mass of the sun that aren't stable, and they get larger and smaller and change in brightness as they do this. When Shakespeare said inconstant stars, he was exactly right. They're inconstant. They do this over less than a day. And to fully understand them, I actually need about a month's worth of data because the night is short and I can't always get the entire light curve, the entire change in brightness from bright to faint.
Is that because there's competition for the telescope time, so you can't literally hog it for that long to see the full periodicity of what these stars are doing?
I can often hog it for one night, but then the sun comes up before I'm done. So if I can get, say, the first 60% of the light curve one night, I might be able to get then from 3% to 63% the next night, and I have to go night after night before the star cycles all the way around. And they're not going to give me 10 nights. But if I observe in the United States and I can find an Italian amateur astronomer with a 12-inch telescope in his backyard to observe for me there, and then I can find an Australian with a telescope in their backyard and my object's far enough south that the Australian can see it, my star can get handed off around the globe from person to person.
So what's the idea here? That you will recruit people who are doing astronomy as a hobby and get them into your project so they're contributing to your research?
Exactly. This is an opportunity for someone to take their hobby, their love of just going outside and watching the stars and how they change, and actually contributing to our knowledge of how the universe works. The particular stars I'm working on aren't well understood, and until we can observe probably about 100 of them in deep detail, we can't make any heads nor tails of them. We just know they're behaving oddly.
What are you asking these people to do, and how do you know you can trust their data? Because as a scientist myself, I'm a total perfectionist.
Yeah.
And unless I've done it myself, I get terribly worried that it's not trustworthy. So how do you get trustworthy data out of people who you've never met?
Well, the trick is that you have to calibrate things in multiple directions. If I have a field of stars and they can take a digital picture and catch four stars in it, one of them is my target star that's changing in brightness all the time. And the other three are constants. And if I know those stars have values of 10, 10.4, and 11, and
this is the brightness, presumably.
This is the brightness. We measure brightnesses on a scale of 0 to, well, as dark as it gets, where 0 is the brightest. The human eye cuts out around 6. You can get with a typical backyard telescope down to about 14, and the numbers just keep getting bigger. If I know for certain the numbers associated with three of the stars, and I know the fourth one varies, and their measurements of those three are bang on the same the entire time, I know I can trust the results.
So you're asking people to send you pictures or just brightness measures of the stars, which you can then use to calibrate their results?
What I ask them to do is take the images and make the measurements of this one is 10, this one is 11, and this is what your variable star is, and just send me an Excel spreadsheet. And then I combine all these Excel spreadsheets. A couple of years ago, I did a campaign. I got, in 3 months, over 8,000 observations. And they weren't all perfect. But out of those 8,000 data points, I got several thousand that allowed me to solve a problem star I'd been struggling with since 1992.
This is like the astronomy equivalent of the SETI at Home project, isn't it? Where you're just analysing huge amounts of data that professionals could not have the time to trawl through. So you get people to just do something for you.
This actually takes that model and turns it on its head. With SETI at Home, with Galaxy Zoo, the scientists are acquiring all of the data. And then with SETI, they're saying, please let me abuse your CPU processor on your computer. And it will tell me the analysis. With Galaxy Zoo, they're saying, we have all these pictures. Please, can you do the analysis for me? In my case, I'm going, I want to do the analysis, but I don't have the data. And so I'm asking them, can you please use your telescopes to get me the data I need?
Astronomer Pamela Gay explaining how amateur astronomers can team up with professionals to do cutting-edge research. She was in Cambridge this week to take part in a meeting between the AAVSO, that's the American Association of Variable Star Observers, and their UK counterparts, the British Astronomical Association. Now, as luck would have it, I also managed to track down one of those amateur astronomers who's been helping Pamela with her research, and I found him in the Castle Pub.
My name is Jerry Samolik. I live in Greenfield, Wisconsin, USA. My interest in astronomy started probably late 50s, early 60s with the beginning of the space program. I still have an article in a magazine called Space Journal, 1958, covering the launch of the first American satellite. So I guess I've been a fanatic since childhood.
So you're just really interested in astronomy and space science. You're not a professional, but you do a lot of this stuff.
Correct. Actually, by profession, I'm an engineer, but I've been doing observing since I was in high school. In my backyard, I've got one flip-top observatory with a 10-inch LX200 CCD camera. The entire building is only 3 feet by 4 feet, so I can't get inside of it. It's just enough to house the telescope. Once I get the thing started, I set the autoguider up and I go to bed.
How many people in America and elsewhere in the world do you know of, through your connections, that do similar things to you, that are doing pretty high-level astronomy, but from the home?
Well, the number of people, it's hard to count. We have 3 active observers in Italy. We have several in the United States, maybe half a dozen. We have one in Australia. What we try to do is coordinate our efforts where the Italian observer will get on a star. He'll send me an email. It's still noon my time. He's telling me what he's observing, so I know what target I can set up that evening. Then as the Earth rotates, I'll carry the star across. For southern stars, sometimes we can pass one off to Neil Butterworth down in Australia, and so we can get more than a half a revolution of the planet on one target.
You're doing pretty high-level work. Do you struggle to get professionals to take you seriously, though?
I don't think so. The organization I belong to, the AVSO, has always been in very high regard of the professionals, and it's always interesting to go to our meetings because we'll have amateurs giving programs and professionals listening to them.
So what are you looking at the moment?
This time of year, I'm working on a few RLA stars. I got one I'm working on in Cancer, and I'm just picking up one AR Hercules that's just starting to come up in the evening that I can run throughout the night. That's been a star I've been observing visually since probably the early 1980s. It's got a very interesting dual mode that it pulsates in, and we've got a kind of a handle on it, but every so often I see something that's out of the ordinary, and I'm just trying to see if I can find that happen again.
Was Jerry Samolik explaining how amateur astronomers like him can make powerful contributions to science just by helping professionals with their observations. And Pamela Gay, who you heard before that, was telling me that if you'd like to find out a bit more about the AAVSO, that was the body that Jerry's a member of, then you can also get involved with them, and their website address is aavso.org.